Father, we just love you so much, and you just stirred me up this morning through your word, and I pray that you will just anoint your word as it comes forth, and that you will touch others, Lord, deeply, to let you make them beautiful in you. Lord, we just invite you to do what only you can do this morning, and we depend on you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, when you're growing up, I think I got them both going. When you were growing up, did you ever hear anybody talk about, you look like you've been beaten by an ugly stick? Ever hear anybody say that? It's not a nice saying. Well, this morning, that's the title of our thing. We have been beaten with an ugly stick. And I thought about that because what I started out, I changed my title. I started out to say, I want to put on my beautiful garments. Because in Isaiah 52:1, God said, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments. And I said, wow. My first thought was, I just want to wear the Lord somewhere today. I want to wear the Lord. I want to wear His love on the countenance of my face. I want that twinkle of joy to be in my eye like God, you know, that makes people happy and know there's hope. And I want that peace of God as my garment. And I thought, I want to wear God. I want Him to be my garment. So I'm going to read more and see what He says. But what's wrong with me? As I was thinking, I thought, you know what? When I was a kid, I used to hear people, they didn't say it to me that I remember, but I heard them say to people, you look like you've been beat with an ugly stick. And I thought, I wonder if there's actually an ugly stick in God's Word. And as I was studying, I found the ugly stick, and we have been beaten by it. But He wants us to put on some beautiful garments. So we're going to end up talking about the ugly stick, but first we're going to talk about the beautiful garments of God in Isaiah 52. So if you want to go to Isaiah chapter 52, starting in verse 1. Now when God's talking to Zion, Zion is representative of the presence of God, the place of God, where God's people dwell. Basically, He's talking to His people. In verse 1, He says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall be no more come into you, the uncircumcised and the unclean. God says, I want you to put on your beautiful garments and no more uncleanliness in you. Shake yourself from the dust. You know, if we've been cleansed by Jesus, like when He was washing the feet of His disciples, Peter said, no, I don't want you getting down and washing my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. And Peter said, well, then wash me all over. And the Lord said, I don't need to wash you all over. Only your feet are dirty. We're walking through this world, and we have the cleansing of God once we accept Christ. But our feet get dirty all the time because we're walking through a sinful world, and we keep stepping into it, you know. So He said, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Sometimes we get trapped. We get like a slave chain around our neck, holding us to sin and to this world. He said, get loose from that. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourself for nothing, for naught. You sold yourself into sin, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down before into Egypt to live there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. My people, they went and lived among the heathen, and the heathen oppressed them. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord? My people are taken away for no reason. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually, every day, is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. You know, in John 17, Jesus said eternal life is to know the Father. To know means to have an intimate relationship, to experience who He really is. He said, you have sold yourself into sin, Become a slave, and those that are ruling over you now, those evil spirits that are ruling your life, that hate you, they make you howl and cry and whine and miserable. And there's no reason for this. I can redeem you. I can redeem you. He said, every day my name is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Is God speaking to you today? How beautiful. Here's our beauty. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings and publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says to Zion, your God reigns. You're Zion. You're God's people. And he said, I need those who will publish the truth. Your God is the ruler. Your God reigns. Give them the good tidings that I can rescue them. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. The watchmen are those who guard you. They watch over you. He said they need to see eye to eye. Eye to eye with God. What is God seeing? That's what we need to see. So God wants to rescue us. What is some beautiful clothing? Well, he said that the feet of those who carry his good tidings are beautiful. Do you want some beautiful feet? You want to wear some beautiful shoes? Then carry the good tidings of God. Put on some pretty shoes. Go out and tell people there's hope. God loves you. Jesus can save you. That will make your feet beautiful. And then there's the adornment of the hidden heart. In 1 Peter 3, it'll take me a minute to get there. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. We're saying, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, clothing, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. So he said, your beauty is not in your hairdo, it's not in your gold, in your jewelry, in your clothing. What makes you beautiful is having Christ inside your heart, the Holy Spirit inside your heart, that can't be corrupted. No matter what's going on around you, you're carrying the presence of God inside of you. And he can't be corrupted. And when we stay in him, no matter what they're doing around us or to us, we won't let it corrupt us. It's the meek and the quiet, restful spirit of staying in him. That's the inner beauty. Look at Proverbs 1. Uh-oh, what did I do? I messed it up. No, I really made a mess of stuff here. Here we go. I got there accidentally. Oh, I lost it again. How did I do that? I better read it quick before it disappears again. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head, and chains about your neck. There's two ways to look at the chains of your parents. But when you listen to authority, to a child, sometimes that feels like the slave chain. I can't go. I can't do it. They won't let me. But God said it's actually a beautiful necklace. It's an adornment of a beautiful necklace. Because being obedient, when you obey authority, it adorns you with the beauty of a submissive spirit that is safe under the authority and the safety and protection of God. It will be an ornament of grace. When you obey, This is really beautiful, because when we obey God, as soon as you obey Him, grace, which is the desire, the will, the ability, the power to do what He wants us to do. Grace comes when you take the step to obey. So He's saying, when you obey your parents, it's like a beautiful necklace of, in an ornament of grace. Obedience brings grace. But even if we do it wrong, if our heart was trying to do it right, it still brings the grace. Yep. Now I want to go to Zechariah 11 and show you the ugly stick. Zechariah. I hope y'all have tabs. You know, that really helps you find these places quicker. Doesn't help me much to even have an iPad. I still can't find anything. Zechariah chapter 1. Well, I'm sorry, Zechariah 11. Gave you the wrong verse there. Do you have a lot of time to find it with me? Because I can't find anything. I don't even know if there is. Yeah, there's 11. Verse 7.
I'm sorry.
I'm pathetic with finding these addresses, I'll tell you. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, that's us that have been slaughtered by Satan and his trampling demons, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, that sticks. One I call beauty, and the other I call bands. The opposite of the beauty of the holiness of God was the bondage and ugliness of sin. There's the ugly stick. And I fed the flock. The word beauty, he called the stick beauty. And this word beauty that he used is defined as agreeableness, delight, splendor, and grace. Agreeableness is part of beauty. Grace is part of beauty. So he said, I took this stick of beauty, and I also took this stick of bands, which is a twisted rope that tricks and binds and ruins and destroys. And I took them both. And God goes on to say that he cut off shepherds that weren't leading right. Down in verse 14, he says, I cut this other staff, the staff of bands, and he broke it. So God says, you've been beat with an ugly stick, but guess what? I'm going to touch you with a stick of beauty and make you beautiful. Because we've all been beat up with that ugly stick of sin in this world. Look at Psalm 90. My thing isn't working right. I can't seem to make it go to 90. I did something weird to it, and I don't even know what I did. I think I told it to go look up commentaries or something. But I didn't mean to. I don't know what I do here, I'll tell you. It only wants to go to Psalm 10. So somebody who has Psalm 90, verse 17, read it to me.
And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it.
Amen. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and you establish the work of our hands. Ezekiel 16, if you want to jump back to Ezekiel, I'm going to try, but I don't know if I can do it. I really messed this up. Ezekiel 14, 15, 16. Okay, now look at verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. If we don't even know our abominations, then we can't let God deal with them. So lately he's been putting us in this furnace of affliction just to show us. Sometimes he lets pressures come so that our well-controlled, well-behaved sin that's hiding surfaces, and then we see it, and then we know. And say this, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto his people, Your birth and your nativity is of the land of Canaan. In other words, you were born into this world of sin. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. Your mom and dad were sinners. And as for your nativity, in the day you were born, your navel was not cut. You were not washed in water to supple you. You weren't salted. You were not swaddled. You weren't cuddled. You weren't nursed. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. You were cast out in an open field to the loathing of your own self in the day that you were born. God is showing this condition that we're in before he comes and rescues us. Verse 6 is just so awesome. Ezekiel 16. Yeah, go down to verse 6. This is where it just really started getting to me. God has said, this is where you were, trapped in sin, born in sin. Mom and dad were in sin. Everybody around you was in sin. And you were just completely lost and hopeless in your sin. Nobody cuddled you and nursed you and did all the things that you should have had done completely the way it should have been done, so that you're just a grown-up, awesome, adult, mature, spiritual, loved person. And in verse 6, God says, And when I passed by you, and I saw you polluted in your own blood, I saw you when you were in your blood. Do you know our blood is full of sin? Sin is passed through the blood. And God said, I came and I saw you in your own blood. I saw you full of the sinful blood. And I said unto you, when you were in your own blood, live. See, we were dead in sin, and he said, live. I have caused you to multiply as the bud of the field, and you have increased and become great, and you are come to excellent ornaments, beautiful ornaments. Your breasts are fashioned, your hair is grown, whereas you were naked and bare. God said, when I found you, you were just like a naked little mouse. Did you ever see a field mouse when they're born? My dad wouldn't let me have any pets, you know, and I used to go out in the field and pick up snakes, you know, and play with them, because I just wanted to play with something that was alive. So one day I saw a little screen, and here's all these little pink baby mice on it. And we were getting ready to move to the city, and my mom had told me there are no more snakes in the city, because they didn't like me playing with snakes. So I was determined to put some field pets in my suitcase. So I put those little field mice in my suitcase. They were going to be my pets. I'm taking them to the city, you know. Mom didn't appreciate it when she found the field mice when she unpacked. I bet that mama mouse didn't appreciate it either, finding her babies were gone. But there they were, pink, naked, hairless. Their eyes were shut. And that's what we're like when we're in sin. Helpless, hopeless, naked. And God said, I covered your nakedness. Look at verse 8. When I passed by you and I looked upon you, behold, the time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you. And I covered your nakedness. And I swore unto you, and I entered in a promise, a covenant, a contract with you, says the Lord God, and you became mine. Isn't that awesome? Then I washed you with water. I thoroughly washed away your blood from you, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you with broidered work. Do you know what broidered work is? It's multicolored needlework that shows on both sides, inside and out, inside and out. God has woven beautiful colors of his love into us that shows inside and out. We're clothed in embroidered beauty of God. And I shod you with badger skin, that was your shoes. And I girded you with fine linen, and I covered you with silk. God ever covered you in a vision, in a beautiful dress? Silk? How many have ever been in a vision where God dressed you up and made you look pretty? Paula, get that hand up. He gave you a pink diamond dress. I know he did. Or a prophecy, okay. One, two. Have you been dressed up by God? Not in a dress. Okay, if you're a guy, maybe it wasn't a dress. Might have been a robe or a crown. Okay.
I'm sorry.
And he decked you with ornaments, and I put bracelets on your hands and a chain on your neck. Does it feel like a slave chain, or does it feel like a beautiful necklace to be under his authority? And I put a jewel on your forehead and earrings in your ears. In case anybody doesn't believe in piercing ears. He did, didn't he? He said in the spirit he did. This is God's idea of beauty, and he's paralleling it to these things. If you want to go get a jewel in your forehead, feel free. You know, somebody might think you're from India. And earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. He did not only put beautiful clothes. He said, I make you royal. Now you have my blood. You are royal. You are my princes and my princesses. You're of the royal family. And just a side note on being a princess or a prince. Because my granddaughters, you know, they're in the princess kick. They have to wear a dress all the time. Poor Tempe has to wear a blouse and pants. She says, me not a princess. She hates it. They want to be a princess all the time. But you know, to be a princess doesn't mean that everybody bows down to you and says how gorgeous you are. To be a princess or a prince on the day that you receive your crown means that if you have a good king for a father, that he's entrusting you, that you can oversee some of his people, that you can lay down your life and live for someone else, that you are able to rule part of his kingdom because you will do it for the people with the same heart that the Father's doing it. And that's what it means. You have been decked with gold and silver, your raiment of fine linen, silk, embroidered work again. You did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and you were exceeding beautiful. There's our beauty. And you did prosper into a kingdom. And your renown went forth from among the heathen for your beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. It was perfected. It was completed through his beauty. His beauty upon us. His beauty in us, which I had put on you, says the Lord God. Says the Lord God. You know, the word says to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. But as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory into the self-same image. We start carrying his beauty and letting it shine. It becomes our clothing. And that was my first prayer when I started this morning. God, I want my face to carry the beauty of your love. I want my eyes to twinkle with joy that tells people you can be happy. I want there to be a peace about my countenance that calms people who are distraught. I want my eyes to weep when people are weeping, to have the compassion to feel their pain. I want all of that, and it can only come from one thing. The hidden man of my heart has to be Jesus. What makes my heart beat? What motivates me? What is it all about? Imparting the presence of God, drawing people to hunger for him, to come to him, to want him. The beauty of God upon us. That's where it comes from. So that should be our prayer this morning. God, it started by saying, I need God to cause me to know my abominations. What is in me, God? What is disgusting and ugly? Because we've all been beaten with the ugly stick of sin. God had two sticks in his hand that day. One was beauty. One was bondage. ugliness of sin. And he said, I'm going to break that ugly stick so that I can touch you with the beauty and make you beautiful. That should be our prayer this morning. Lord, we just ask that this would be our time of love. This would be our time to be touched with your beauty stick. We ask you to come and adorn us with your beauty this morning. We just want to come in a time of prayer right now and lay our lives down before you and say, God, what's ugly in me? What is ugly in me? I know I've been beaten with that ugly stick and it hurt. I've been beaten and beaten and beaten with it. And I'm wounded and I'm bruised. And anger is ugly. Bitterness is ugly. Retaliation is ugly. I don't want that ugliness on me. Bring me to repentance. Grant me repentance. Free me. Deliver me. Rescue me. And fill me with your beauty. Fill my heart. Let me see your beauty, your goodness, your gentleness, that I might carry your beauty and wear it as my garment and my clothing. Lord, you said you came and you saw me in my own blood. I need a transfusion. My blood is dirty. It's tainted. It's sick. I need a transfusion of your pure blood. I want to be a pure blood Christian. Come and touch us this morning, God. Come and deal with us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're just going to take some time and soak a little bit this morning. No therapy class today, just soaking today. So we can put a little music on.
Be still. Here I am again, I failed you, Father, I've sinned. I'm sad to see how very weak that I can be. Being made of flesh and blood, I know I grieve your heart so much. I'm overwhelmed that you still care for me. And I don't want to wander from the truth. Oh God, why do I do the things I do?
I know that you're discouraged, but you're not alone. There is absolutely no situation out of his control. One door may close, another will open. Jesus is healer. All that is broken, yeah. He will make a way where there is no way. Yes, he will. He will bring his peace where there is no pain.
Gave me this after confessing all my sin. I won't read that part, but he gave me this idea of being in a dressing room and looking in the mirror of reality and saying, this is the ugly dress. Too idealistic. Oh man, I'm confessing my sin. Expecting too much from people. I thought that was on the other page. Religious, judgmental, impatient, sometimes cold, very impulsive. So I need to change clothes. I need to stop picking out my attire from a carnal, worldly closet full of demonic Halloween costumes. So, let's think about what we're wearing when we look in God's mirror. How do we appear to other people? Like a professional salesman? I mean your real clothes, the way you walk around, your facial expression, what we're wearing. Do we look like a professional salesman? A rock star? A beauty queen? A rugged worker? A harlot, a pimp, a millionaire, a beggar, a boxer, a drug addict? Are we bold, aggressive, or are we soft and approachable? Are we stubborn, harsh, angry, rude, always rushed, or are we calm? Are we pressured or peaceful? Are we worried or confident and sure? Do we look like a mommy and a daddy? Do we look like a grandpa and a grandma? Let's check out our wardrobe, our outer apparel and our appearance, and our expressions, and our inward attitudes, our purpose. So how are we dressed, and what are we wearing today? Does it look ugly in the mirror of God? So if it does, then we need to go into the prayer closet and change clothes. It's that simple. There's an outfit for you in the prayer closet.
Thank you. I called and the Lord heard me. He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
within me. Leaves will turn, my heart will burn with colors of you. Snow will fall, but I'll recall your warmth. Summer wind breathing in your memory. I miss you. But there will be a time when I'll see your face, and I'll hear your voice, and there we will laugh again, and there will come a day when I'll hold you close, no more tears to cry, 'cause
starry nights, I'll glimpse the light of your smile. But I'll say goodbye. But I'll say goodbye for now.
I look in your eyes,
look in your eyes.
I see that I want to know more. Maybe today,
maybe today,
you'll find a way to open a door. With all that is there,
all that is there,
I know you care, and I believe that there'll come a day,
there'll come a day,
and there is a way.
Change, but my feelings do, don't wanna follow them. I'm following you. I know I've been here before, and as I've opened my door, you fill me up. I need so much love, it's so wonderful that you meet me every time. Days are going fast, and I can't ignore the hunger in my soul, the emptiness of fear, the peace I want to know. I can get weary and worn, and I feel the way from you alone.
Flowers growing in the sand.
smile. I have felt your mercy reaching through a friend of mine. When they forgive my selfishness and pride. And every time my spirit gets covered in life's dust, you wash me in the shower of love. I could weep at the phone, battle on my winding road. It's your grace I keep on receiving.
Thank you. could choose. When you look at me, when I look at you, if you wanna go up to the mountains, if you wanna walk upon the sea, if you travel through the deepest valleys, then that's where I want to be. Take me with you. Take me with you. Take me with you. I know that you hear the broken hearted. I know that you reach for lonely souls. You will always love where hate is planted, and that's where I want to go. You have gone before me into heaven. You have told me I'll